Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord and to celebrate this Memorial Day. We're going to start it off in a very special way this morning. So if we could have your attention.
Saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him just one more time, you see, all I have are the memories and the moments to recall. Place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall.
Thankful to all those that have served in the military service, those that have fought so much, and you know, some that were able to come home and some that weren't. And you know, I've been to that wall and I walked up to it, and they say, you know, you go there at any time of the year and there's flowers, there are letters that are left, for those that have not returned. What I'd like to do first this morning, if you're here and you served in any branch of the military, we also want to include policemen, firemen, any branch of service that's present. Would you rise to your feet so we can recognize you this morning? We want to thank you for being with us in the house of the Lord this morning. We are glad to be here, glad to be saved by the grace of God, glad that God has not changed. Amen. Now, just a couple of announcements we want to make, and we have another video that Brother Tom Payne has put together that we're going to play in just a minute. But, you know, we have some flowers here up front, and these are beautiful flowers. These were donated by Miss Martha, and we appreciate those flowers this morning. Amen. Just in announcements, we will not be having Wednesday night supper this Wednesday night. For those of you that have heard and those that haven't, I'll share with you that Mr. Ricky Mahan and Miss Judy Mahan were involved in an accident yesterday at around 11:30. They were at their home, and somehow a vehicle, Ricky was in the vehicle, stepped out of it to get something, and the vehicle was in reverse. And he thought it was in park, I guess, but when he stepped out of it, it shook and started to roll just a little bit. And he told Miss Judy to just reach over and put it in park. Well, rather than putting it in park, she turned it off. Well, when she turned the car off, it started going down the driveway. They live on a steep hill. And Brother Ricky, he ran and jerked the wheel to turn it away from their house. And when he did, he fell down, and the vehicle ran over him. And it started going down a steep hill, picked up speed. She jumped out. When she did, she hit her shoulder and her head. She dislocated her left shoulder, and she has a little bleeding on the brain. And she was in Kenistone, and they kept her, probably going to be a day or two. Fortunately, Brother Ricky, he was sitting there when I got there to see him. I had no idea how bad it was going to be. He was sitting there with a bandage on his leg. When the accident happened, he called her on the cell phone because she was down through the yard and she didn't answer. Well, he got up and went and got the other car and drove her to the hospital. So, you know, he wanted to obviously make sure she was taken care of, but it could have been a lot worse. And when I was there talking to him, and I praised the Lord that he was able to go home and she's going to be able to go home. But we need to pray for them. We need to lift them up before the Lord. I like what the doctors can do. I appreciate modern medicine. But I don't tell you what I rely on more. I rely on the hand of God. Because when God intervenes, he's going to do something that the doctors can't do. You ever seen a situation when the doctors say, well, everything's going to be all right, and it turns out it's not all right? And then you see times that they tell you, no matter what we do, we just don't know what else to do. Well, let me tell you, the great physician, he always knows what to do. That's why when we lift folks up before the Lord and we trust and believe in the power of prayer, he can make a change. And I praise the Lord for what we were able to see when we got there, that it was better than it could have been. But let's remember them. Now, she said, well, I can, you know what she said? She said, well, I could probably make a pot of soup. We're going to give her at least 1 week off, okay? Now, she said she'd be back the next week. We don't know. Let's just pray for them, okay? Tonight, we've got, you know, folks, we got a lot of people that are on vacation this week. And we also, another thing, is we had a new addition to our church this morning. I guess it's 7:15. We had another heart born this morning. So we got a lot of folks that are up the hospital with the Mahans. We got a lot of folks that are up the hospital with Aaron and the new baby. And, you know, we probably have 10, 15 families that are on vacation. And you say, well, where would you put them? I'll tell you where we're going to put them. We're going to put them in there, squeeze them in here, and then we're going to pray that God will show us what else he wants us to do, okay? Because I just praise the Lord for what he's been doing in this place and what he continues to do. I'll go ahead and give you a pre-announcement. Within a few weeks, we're going to have baptizing. We've got five that I know of that are going to be baptized. So if you feel like you want to be baptized, you've been saved by the grace of God, you've never been baptized, or you want to be re-dipped just to make sure that everything's all right, we'll do that too. So keep that in mind. It's probably going to be within 2 or 3 weeks. Weather's getting good. We'll have a you know, we'll have a regular service in here, then we'll go out here under the pavilion and we'll set up our baptismal over there. We'll still put warm water in it, okay? Out on the table out here, right outside the door, you see these baby bottles. We have a bottle drive. Goes from Mother's Day to Father's Day, and what this is for is the Paulding County Pregnancy Center. If you take one of these bottles, you fill it up with change, you fill it up with whatever you want to, we take it down to the Paulding County Pregnancy Center, and it helps them help mothers who come in. You know, when they go to Planned Parenthood, they give them one option. They don't try to talk them into keeping that baby. They don't tell them about Jesus. They don't tell them that there's another alternative, that they can have joy in their life. When you go down here, they sign up, they come, they take classes, they earn credits, they give them diapers, you know, people give them strollers, they give them carriers, and they help people understand that they can keep their child. But they introduce them to Christ, they tell them about Jesus. So it is a great ministry to be involved in. Another great thing coming up is Bible school. We got Bible school coming up. Our kickoff is June the 6th here at the church. We are going to have a zoo out here. We're going to have a zebra out here. We're going to have a monkey out here. We're going to have, just, if you get near the llama, just don't get too close. But we're going to have all kind of animals here for our Bible school kickoff. We're going to have, they reminded me it's going to be finger foods. And I thought we was having a cook-off. Finger foods, still be plenty. You know, I want to commend this church. You know, we had homecoming and we told people, look, we need to cook because we got visitors coming. Folks, we could have fed 1,000 people. We probably had about 300 here, you know, for the service. The parish were here. And we probably had a couple of hundred people stay and eat. But I want to tell you something. Y'all just turn out. And I want to tell you, when I go somewhere, I'm proud to tell people that I'm a part of Hiram First Baptist Church. Amen. You know why? Sometimes in our lives, we may have been a part of a church that we're questioning, is this really where God wants me to be? And when you start to witness to people and minister to them, you question whether or not you really want to invite them. Well, I tell people, this is the place to be. I'm a people. People will love you. People will care about you. And if you want to be involved, we got something for you. And I want to tell you, I hadn't been anywhere, had any more going on. I'll say this, that people get any more excited about it. Praise the Lord. So thank you, and I appreciate all the hard work of the church and what you've done. Now, we do have Celebrate Recovery Ministry here on Monday night, for those of you that are not familiar with it. It's great ministry, okay? Changes people's lives. Tomorrow being Memorial Day, we will not have it tomorrow, but we'll pick back up the following week. And God is doing things here. We have some new people, seems like, every week come in. So let's remember that. Let's be praying about that. Now, one more announcement, and then we're going to shake hands, and then we're going to let Brother Tom come up if you want to introduce your video, Brother Tom. We're going to have the Todd Nealon Trio here July the 26th on a Sunday night. Now, Todd Nealon, he used to be part of the original Nealons when Rex Nealon, you know, started that years ago. And he actually has a couple of different singing groups, but he's got a trio that we used to hear sing pretty regularly over at Macklin, and they're going to be here on July the 26th, a Sunday night. So remember that, and turn out if you can, and let's take and support them. And let's pray for each other. You know, we got a lot of folks in this church that are looking for a job. You know, and we need to lift one another up, okay? And God hears those. Now, here's what we want to do. Thank you for coming. I know we have a lot of visitors this morning because most of our folks are gone. But I'm glad to see you because I was wondering who we were going to preach to. Let's stand and shake hands with one another right now. Amen. Thank you.
All right, as you're going back to your seats. I want to say just one more thing about homecoming last week. You know, when the Perrys came in and they sat down over here, the first thing out of their mouths were, we are so impressed with the number of young people that you have in your church. And I'm thinking, my goodness, we only had about half of our young people here. They would have had a fit, but they enjoyed being here so much. I talked to them just this week, and they thanked us for having them. And I want you to lift them up in your prayers. They are carrying a huge burden in their lives, trying to continue the ministry. It's their livelihood, and deal with Tracy's illness. So please pray for them each and every time you pray. We have a wonderful video this morning that Brother Tom put together for Memorial Day. So I hope you enjoy this.
Flight. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter, silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you have not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared, swung high in the sunlit silence. Hovering there, I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the wind-swept heights with easy grace, where neither lark or even eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind, I've trod the high, untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touch the face of God.
Broken brothers.
To those of you this morning that have served our country and serve it each and every day, protecting us, I say thank you this morning. And we can never... If there ever was a time, you know, I read yesterday, some of you probably saw it on Facebook, but ABC News has refused to allow even their anybody to even wear a flag lapel pin because they need to stay neutral. We do not need to stay neutral about our country, and if there ever was a time that the church needed to stand up for our country, it's the day in which we live. I'm so thankful to be an American and thankful to be here this morning. Let's all stand as we prepare for offertory this morning. We're going to sing America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for space of praise in liberating strife, who more than self their country love and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dreams that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Celebrating our Memorial Day weekend. We thank you, Lord, for each and every of jail. His daddy said, this is the last time I pay bail. So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape. But he said, that's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I could not save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star. A grieving mother leaned against his arms. And he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who ever knew him was surprised he died that way. Oh, he always lived for Jesus. Oh, they always heard him say, somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I could not save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. So I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath that I am given, God, help me not forget. God, help me not forget. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I could not save myself. I cannot live the way I live or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Richard. Appreciate that song. Appreciate you being here with us this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I know Jesus as my Savior. Glad that we can still come to church, come in and preach Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we live in a country where you can do that. I got some facts that I want to share with you about Memorial Day, and then we're going to, in our country, and then we're going to get into the scripture. But we're going to be reading in James chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 16 in just a minute. And I want to just share some things with you that, stuck out to me in my heart and my mind when I begin to look at it. You know, several towns claim to be the originators of Memorial Day. But in 1966... Congress declared Waterloo, New York, to be the birthplace of the holiday. Memorial Day originally honored military personnel who died in the Civil War between 1861 and 1865. Memorial Day was also called Decoration Day because they would come together to decorate the graves of those who died. The timeline, May 5th, 1866, residents of Waterloo, New York, observe a Memorial Day in honor of all who died. Businesses were closed, and soldiers' graves were decorated. In 1868, General John Alexander Logan officially proclaims May the 30th as Memorial Day in honor of the Union soldiers who died in the Civil War. Not until after World War I did Southern states celebrate. They celebrated a separate day for Memorial Day in honor of the Confederate dead. But in 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday in May. December 28, 2000, a president signed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, which designates 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day each year as the National Moment of Remembrance. I've got some things here about war casualties. The Civil War, approximately 620,000 Americans died. The Union lost 365,000 and the Confederacy lost 260,000. But more than half of these deaths were caused by disease. World War I, America lost 116,516 to this war. And more than half of those were also to disease. World War II, 405,399 Americans died. The Korean War, 36,574 Americans died. The Vietnam conflict, 58,220 Americans died. More than 47,000 were killed in action and nearly 11,000 plus died from other causes. Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, 148 U.S. battle deaths and 235 non-battle deaths. Operation Iraqi Freedom, 4,424 U.S. service members died. Operation New Dawn, 66 U.S. service members died. Operation Enduring Freedom, 2,355 U.S. service members have died as of December 31st, 2014. Now, when you look at these numbers, and those are big numbers, but I've got something here this morning that I mentioned a couple of times. This is the book that most inspired me when I was in Bible college, but it's not a Bible book. What it is United States History, Heritage of Freedom in Christian Perspective. And when I was in Bible college, you know, I took all the ologies, you know, the soteriology, all the ologies. And I took all those other classes and I took all the books, but this one right here inspired me. Because when I begin to read, I begin to look at it, and I just want to share this with you. This is World War I. Russia lost 1,700,000. Germany, 1,600,000. France, 1,385,000. The British Empire, 900,000. Austria, 800,000. Italy, 462,000. And what was our number? For World War I, 116,516. And as I begin to read through this book, and everything that I read, it showed me how God's hand's been on America. When I began to see what we faced when we went into World War II unprepared, and we weren't ready, and we had to take basically and just waited and waited and waited because we wanted to be kind of like ABC, neutral. Let me tell you something, God has not changed. And I'm not afraid to wear a flag. I want to tell you something else. I'm not afraid to wear a cross either. Because I'm a child of God, I'm saved by the grace of God, and these men died so that you and I can still have the privilege to be able to come into the house of God and worship. So when I began to read this and I saw how that we would storm an island in the South Pacific where 100,000 Japanese were dug in,
that would die. Every soldier would die. They'd fight to the last minute. Some of them, they would push them back until they pushed them off of cliffs and they wouldn't surrender. And I saw how many Japanese soldiers died and how many American soldiers it took to take the island. I'll tell you, God began to move in my heart. Because here's what I want you to understand. God has had His hand on America. And it's because God has had His hand on America that we've been blessed the way we are. And you will say, no, it's because of our military might. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to get in the scripture in just a minute. But when we went into World War II and we went against Germany and the Japanese, they were more prepared than we are. They had greater technology than we did. They had better weaponry than we did. Their soldiers were better trained than ours. So what was it? Was it us? Or was it God? You see, I believe it was God. I really do. And I want to tell you what I believe Memorial Day is. Memorial Day is a time to remember. And we've done some of that. Memorial Day is a time to honor. And we've done some of that. Memorial Day is also a time to celebrate. And that's why we're here this morning. We can come into the house of God and we can rejoice in the fact that we're not under the power of the Axis powers. We can rejoice that we're not part of Japanese imperialism and just another state for them. And the reason we can celebrate is because God has delivered us. And what we need to pray and understand is we never ever want God to remove His hand from America. That's what we need more than anything else. Now, if you got your Bible, I want to read in James chapter number 1. And I'm going to begin to read in the 16th verse down through the 25th verse. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. Our primary text is in the 24th verse of this chapter. But in the book of James, chapter number 1, verse 16. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which is excess of sinfulness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer of the word, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of person or man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now when I look at these 24th and the 25th verses, there are a couple of places there it talks about forgetting. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is some things we should remember, some things that we should honor, and some things that we should celebrate. You know, in America, we are blessed. God has poured blessing out on us. You know, my wife and I were talking, and we were talking yesterday going down the road, and, you know, we need to remember how blessed we are. We were coming down the road, and she said, "You know, I remember when I was growing up. And my mother, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And it come time for Easter, it come time for something special, we would go down to the Hancock Fabric." And she said, we were regulars down there. And my mother, she would let us look through catalogs to pick out what kind of dress we wanted for Easter. And then we'd go down to the fabric store and she would let us pick out the fabric. And she would go back and sew our dresses for Easter. She said, one time my mother made me a shirt, and I can remember wearing it to school, and she said, everybody wanted to know where I bought it. Because everybody wanted to have one. You know, there's some things we need to remember. And we need to remember that it wasn't always like it is today. You know, I've never heard a time when people poor mouth as much as they do. And I want to tell you something else. I've never seen a time when men have lost the work ethic like they've lost it in America today. You know, people say, well, you know, I want to tell you something. God has not changed. And the problem in America today is we've turned our back on God. We've walked away from Him. We're not thankful for what He's done for us anymore. We think we need a handout. We think we need everything in the world. When in reality, people need to surrender to the will of God. I can remember coming home every day and my mother would cook dried beans and we'd have fried potatoes. And it was a couple of nights a week we might have meat on the table. But my wife told me this, and I'll tell you the same thing. I didn't grow up thinking I was poor, because every day when we sat around the table and we asked the blessing and we held hands, we had something that money could not buy. I didn't know I was going to say that. That's not even on my notes. That's just my thoughts from yesterday. You know what we need to remember? We need to remember the cross. We need to remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we need to remember that if it wasn't for His mercy, there go I, but for the grace of God. You see, because if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I might be in jail. I talked to somebody the other day and they said, you know, I really have a problem with anger. And you know, I talked to somebody a day after that. You know, I said, I really have a problem with this. Another one said, I really have a problem with that. You know, we all got problems. It takes Jesus Christ to put them in a proper perspective. The Bible says in one place, the love of Christ constraineth us. The reason people's lives are out of control is they're running after everything in the world and they don't have God where He's supposed to be in their lives. We need to remember the cross. We need to remember we're saved. We are not what we used to be. Now, I want to tell you this something this morning, what the devil wants. He wants you to think within yourself that you'll never be anything. That's a lie. He wants you to think that you'll never have victory. That's a lie. He wants you to think that what you've done in the past is too much for God to forgive it. That is a lie. We are not what we used to be. We need to remember the cross. There was a sign on a man's back just a minute ago. And it says, freedom is not free. It cost a lot. And it had the pictures of the crosses. And if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., I got the privilege to go because of work. I went up there to meet a customer, and we went right downtown near the White House, and we had dinner there, and I had a customer we were seeing about a job. But while we were there, we stopped, and I got to go over to that wall. I got to go over to that monument, and I got to look at all those tombstones. Now, I probably walked through there with a different mind than a lot of folks, because when I walked through there, I was thinking about God. I was thinking about the sacrifice. I was thinking about what those men did. But I was thinking about what God did for us. Let me tell you something. God's grace is great. It's free. All you have to do is ask for it. The Bible says it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let me tell you, it's not cheap. Because it cost the darling Son of God everything. Everything. Remember the empty tomb. That song that the Perry sang, if you knew Him like I know Him. You know, sometimes I talk about the Lord and people, you know, they don't want nothing to do with it. We're living in a world today where the common modern media and television, they want to make a mockery of God. But I want to tell you something. If they know Him like I know Him, they'd know He's alive. The song, the man says, I walked by the tomb of Buddha and I looked inside and I saw his bones. And I walked on to see Muhammad and he was there wrapped up in his grave clothes. He said, but then I journeyed to a garden. Where old Joseph left him lay. The Lamb of God, God's only begotten. He's no longer in the grave. He's risen today. Because He's risen, that's why we can celebrate. We can celebrate and remember that He's not in the grave. You know, we need to remember our many blessings. I picked up a newspaper article Friday at work, and they had a celebration they were having down in Noonan. That's where I work. And they began to talk about how when, you know, we were in World War II, that there were things called rationing stamps. Some of you remember a little bit about that. I don't know if there's very few people, even in the house today. Might have been some that were young at that time, but they had ration stamps. Because people were given stamps for shoes, They were given stamps for tires. They were given stamps for sugar. And now, you know, here's a problem at my house. You go into my boys' rooms and they got so many shoes, I just do this. Get this stuff up. Line these things up in the closet. But I want to tell you something. They had ration stamps for shoes, and they would wear them till there were holes in the bottom of them. They would run their tires until there was air showing. And I hate to say it, but Southerners might have learned how to drink unsweet tea. But they had ration stamps. And they had something called victory gardens. What was a victory garden? Some people who had their means in the land, they would actually grow a garden so that the food that was available to be purchased could be sent to the troops overseas. Because they wanted to be able to give more to the soldiers. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. We've never seen a time like that. We've never seen a time where there was that much distress. And what we need to do is remember the hand and the blessing of God that He's put on us. When I begin to read, and this is in this book too. In 1942, that was the last model car for about 4 or 5 years. From 42 to 46, if you wanted a Ford, you got a 42 model. If you could find one. And what they did is they shut down all of the automotive plants, all of the General Motors and the Ford and the Chrysler, and they started building airplanes, and they started building tanks, and they started building military vehicles, because we went into a conflict that was a worldwide conflict against a very powerful, very prepared enemy. And you know, when I begin to think about it and I begin to look at it, I thought, that's God's hand. It's God's hand when people begin to pull together. Because people begin to cry out to God. You know, after the day when the two planes flew into the towers at the World Congress Center, that next Sunday there's a lot of people in church. People need to get over a dose of it, and they need to get something that's real. That's why, you know, I want people to come, but people need to get a hold of something that's real. It'll keep you coming back. It'll wake you up. It'll make life come into you. Remember when. Remember when. Let me give you this verse. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse number 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now let me tell you something just a minute. Sometimes you read a verse like that and people say, well, he's just old fogey. He just only likes this kind of music. He just only likes this kind of worship. Or they just only like this kind of service. Now let me remind you, this verse was written long time before Jesus Christ walked on the earth. This is a B.C. verse. This is written by Jeremiah the prophet. So we can't say that what that's talking about is grandpa and grandpa. What that's talking about, it's not talking about what kind of music you worship with. It's not even talking about the style of the speaker or preacher that you like to listen to. What it's talking about is returning to a God where He gets all the honor, where He gets all the glory, where when you do something, you lift Him up. When He blesses you, you give Him the praise. Remember when. Remember when America prayed. Now, I know there's some praying folks in here. And we got things that we're praying about, amen? But as a nation, we've drifted far away from God. Remember when America prayed, and here's why. During World War II, there was such a conflict that they didn't lock the churches. They left them unlocked. And as people come by, what they would do, they would come in and they'd come down and they'd say, "Lord, remember my son. Lord, bless our country. Lord, would you reach down and touch us? God, would you help us? God, would you remember us? God, would you deliver us from the evil powers that are against us?" Remember when America prayed. Remember when America worshiped. You know, we're living in such a time today, sometimes people go to church, it's more of a social thing than it is about God. You know, they want to get up and they want to put on a show. Folks, I like good singing, but here's what I like. I like good singing, it breaks out. When people get to can't help it, and they say, just can't help but raise their hands and praise God. Here's the way some of the Baptists are. Whoop. I don't want anybody to see it. I like coming. You know why I like Celebrate Recovery, Brother Tom? People jump up. They just get excited about it. Why? Because God has done something in their life. Remember when America worshiped. Worship. He's worthy of all praise. Remember when convictions were common. Think about that one. We're living in a nation today that has drifted and drifted and drifted to where it's hard sometimes for people to even understand where they're at. Because they've been so much that's been accepted and accepted as wrong that people are having trouble separating. Remember when true believers were not in the minority. You see, if you're a Christian today and you really believe the Lord and you stand for what's right, you're living in a country where you're being more and more oppressed. Well, they want you to be quieter and quieter, and to where no matter what you do or where you turn, you go be in the you can be in the line at the grocery store and you look at the magazine covers. You turn on the news and you listen to it. You flip through the channels and you listen to primetime television. What are they doing? They're making a mockery of God. They're promoting evil agendas. They're promoting things that are against the Word of God, and they're making mockery of Christianity. I want to tell you that God's not changed. Remember? When the wicked were ashamed to come out of the closet. They wouldn't, you know, people did things, they were ashamed of it. They might do it, but they didn't want everybody to know about it. Now that they, you know, the Bible says in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Remember when Fathers Knows Best and the Andrew Griffith Show filled primetime television? You know, we're living in a society today. If you don't want your kids to be led right, you better pay attention to what you're watching. Better pay attention to what they're reading. Because the agenda is anti-God. See, there's some things we need to remember. We need to remember God's blessing. We need to remember where God brought us from. And we need to remember who God is. All the honor, all the glory belongs to Him. See, not only are there some things we need to remember, but there are some things that we need to honor. See, what does the world honor? The world honors what's called a nobleman. But sometimes what the world considers a nobleman is not noble at all. You see, we have something called the Nobel Peace Prize. But ever since they've given it to a terrorist, it hadn't meant very much to me. Ever since they've given it to somebody that says this is no longer a Christian nation that's pushing an ungodly agenda, it hasn't meant very much to me. The world honors fame. Where I work, we've done some of these Hall of Fames. We did the medal on the Country Music Hall of Fame. Did the big glass guitar. We did the College Football Hall of Fame, and I know y'all football fans, me too. Then you got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You got the Boxing Hall of Fame. You got all these different things that people lift up. And you know, and all that's probably got its place. But what I think we should remember, just like we did today, is we need to remember those men that fought and died for us to have the freedom to be able to come into the house of the Lord. I heard Junior Hill preaching, and I'll share this with you. He said he was up at that, I think it's that Vanderbilt house. Is that what it is up there in Asheville, North Carolina? How many of y'all been to that? Biltmore. Okay, Biltmore. There you go. I showed you what I know. My wife talked us into going to that thing, and we went up there, and it was pretty, and I enjoyed being with my wife. I love the mountains. But I liked the outside. We got in that thing, and we was on room 30-something. And me and Luke, we looked at each other and said, how much more of this? We was ready to get out of there. We was looking for a door. 60-something rooms, I think it is, in that thing. And you know, Junior Hill said, you know, he went over there to that, to the Biltmore house, and he said he went through it and he looked at it. And you know, sometimes what the world honors is the wrong thing. They went through it and it's esteemed and it's all prestigious and important. He said, but I come out of the Biltmore house and I drove down the road just a short ways to the birthplace of a great preacher whose name is Vance Havner. And he said, I went up to the door, the window of the place. It was just a little shack. He said, I looked in and there was an old washtub. He said, there was maybe an old iron stove and some old pieces of furniture. And he said, I begin to wonder why, as great of a man of God as he was, and here his birthplace is, it's in ruins. And you go down the street and people are honoring something that the world honors. The world often honors the wrong thing. Amen. And he said, God spoke to me. And he gave me this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Let me tell you something. When we get to heaven and I'm planning on going, and I'm going to go, here's when I'm going to go, when God calls. Until between then and now, I just want to do everything I can for Him. Because this life's temporal. It's not going to be forever. And when I get there, I want Him to look at me and just say one thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And here's who I think He's going to honor. He's going to honor those that honor Him. Remember the woman who had the little alabaster box of ointment? And she came and she knelt and she poured it on Him. And there were some that said, well, why couldn't this have been sold and given to the poor? They were disputing what she said. And that's what a lot of people are today. He said, the poor you have always. If you want to help them, help them. But give to God what belongs to God. And then he said, because of what she's done, this will be written for a memorial unto her. Now here's the point. God honors those who honor Him. And there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that the world may not have known their name. They may have pastored some little church somewhere faithfully all their life with a little crowd. And then you got this big guy over here that wants everybody to know his name. Wants everybody to give him the praise for everything that they do. But I tell you what, we're going to be surprised to find out who's standing first in line when we get up there by the Lord. What should we be honoring? We should honor God as Lord. He's Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean if He's Lord? If He's Lord, folks, He's over all. If He's Lord, I should give glory where glory is due. He's God. I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to know everything. Here's what I have to know. He's God and I am not. He's the King and I am not. He's in control and I am not. He's the Savior and I am not. Give Him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. We should be honoring God as Lord. We should be honoring God's holy word. We should honor this. I want to tell you something. This is not just a book. Folks, this doesn't compare with the New York Times bestsellers list. Okay, this was written over a period of about 2,500 years in three different languages by men who were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And when you read it, it's not circular reasoning because it was written over time when God began to speak to men. Sometimes people say, well, if the Bible supports the Bible, that's circular reasoning. That's what these scholars want to say. Let me tell you something. There's more to support this book than any ancient document that's ever been written. We ought to honor the Bible as God's holy word. And we ought to honor the words of the Lord. This book is holy. God's word is holy. And if He's God and this is His book, then what I have to honor is His authority over me. In other words, what this book says about me, it's true. And what I should do if I want to be honoring God is submit to it. And not be, as we read, just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And that's what's wrong with America today. We've walked away from God. We've forgotten where our blessings come from. We should honor God's direction. What does God want me to do? And I want to tell you something. I struggle with this. I want to tell you, men like to be in control. We like to know everything that's going to happen. I'd like to know, you know, it's kind of like this. God, I'll follow you. If you'll just give me everything I need to do it. if you'll just give me every bit of direction, if there are no questions, and you know, you send me the blueprints and every dollar it takes to do it, I'll follow you. But one thing that I've come to learn, God's way is better than my way. God's will is better than my will. Who am I? What do I know? We should honor God's direction. You know, the Bible also says to honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with promise. It also tells us and teaches us that we should honor our elders and our teachers. There are those that have gone on before us, and I look back in my life and I think about some of the men of God. Some of them never preached on television. Some of them, if I mention their name, you'd never know them. But I'll tell you, their lives impacted my life. They were men of God. They lived for God. They were faithful to God. And they lived in a life that is an example unto me, that was help to me to be able to be here today. We've got those that are teaching our Sunday school classes in this church. We've got the elders in this church that when we meet, I listen close to what they say. You know, sometimes, you know, the meetings get kind of long. I don't try to hurry them. You know why? Because everybody is important in the house of God. It's not about me. It's not about anything that I want. It's about Him. And we want to lift Him up. And I appreciate the elders and my teachers. Now, not only is a time to remember and a time to honor, but it's a time to celebrate. Now, here's why. We celebrate because victory is ours. You see, every Sunday should be Victory in Jesus Day. And it is. We come together and we worship and we lift up the name of the Lord and we sing hymns and we sing songs. And the Bible tells us that we ought to encourage one another in spiritual gifts and songs. And we come together and we celebrate because victory is ours. Why? Because the enemy has been defeated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 26, it says, "The last enemy that shall be defeated is death." Now you think about this for just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15, you go down to verse number 55 and 57. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as I began to watch this video just a minute ago, and we talked about all these conflicts, you know, all around the world, there are graves of American soldiers. Many of them buried at sea. Some buried in France. Some of them buried in Italy. Some of them buried in Africa. But here's what I believe with all of my heart. One day there's going to be a trumpet sound. The Bible says that we which are alive are not going to prevent them that are asleep. For those that are asleep in Christ, He's going to bring with Him. And we're going to be reunited to a body. You say, "Well, how?" I want to tell you, if He can make it from the dust of the earth once, He can do it again. Amen. Now, when? When? I don't know when. The Bible tells us that no man knows the day. But here's something that I want you to understand. If you're a Christian, if you're a Bible reader, remember, we've only been doing what we've been doing in this country for about 100 years. You know, we get in airplanes and fly. 100 years ago, we walked. We'd get to church and you ever been to one of those churches? They got one up in Cage Cove that's got the big wood heater right in the middle. Yeah. And you come to church, there wasn't no sitting in the back because it was so cold. Everybody wanted to get close to the heater. Maybe we need us a wood heater and turn the heat off. Get people closer. Things have changed. You know, the Bible in the book of Daniel, it talks about in the last days, many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. The Bible gives us all the signs. Folks, we celebrate because the enemy of death has been defeated. Why? Because when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He suffered for you and I. Took all of my sins and all of your sins on Himself. Then they placed Him in a tomb, but He did not stay there. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. And we have victory in Him because we can live a victorious life now. Yes, you can have victory in Christ. But we have victory because we shall reign with Him in eternity. Amen. See, our Christian walk is not in vain. My dad was one of those preachers that I mentioned. He lived his life for God. He was a bivocational preacher. He was a painter, a house painter all his life. But he also pastored churches just about his whole life. And when he passed away, this is the verse that I wanted put on his footstone. This is his epitaph. It says, not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that people do, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's vain. See, if you live your life for the things of this world, you're living for vanity. What difference does it make if your name is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you don't know Jesus? What difference does it make if your name is in the College Football Hall of Fame and you don't know Jesus? What if it's in the Baseball Hall of Fame and you don't know Jesus? Let me tell you, the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because Jesus is going to return. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. When He comes again, He's not going to come like He did, Brother Tom. He's going to come in power. When He came the first time, He came as a little babe in a manger. He was a carpenter's son. And He walked around in sandals and didn't have much. People looked at Him. The Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, He had no form nor comeliness, that when you would see Him, you would desire Him. But when He returns again, He's going to have eyes as a flame of fire. His face is going to shine so bright, and when He speaks, it's going to sound like thunder coming out of His mouth. I want to tell you that all of the armies of the world will not be able to stand against Him, because all He's going to have to do is speak, and they'll go backwards. Because He's God. He's coming. Jesus is coming. So what is Memorial Day? It's a time to remember. It's a time to honor. It's a time to celebrate. But maybe this morning, it's a time to make things right with God. I want things to be right with God. You say, oh, but sometimes, and come on, Brother Keith, if you would, get your song. I know in this life, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have burdens. And sometimes trying to do the right thing is difficult. Why? Because we're in a cursed land. We're living under the curse. And we're living in a world that's fallen, that's not perfect. But we have a God that's defeated all of our enemies that can help us. And what we ought to do when we get the opportunity is cry out to Him and let Him help us. You know, one thing I noticed common in the video, when people's hearts are heavy, who else is there to cry to? Who else is there to go to? We have altars here that are always open, but they're especially open right now. If you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart, if you would stand to your feet as we get ready to sing, we'd ask you, take advantage, please, of the opportunity that God's given you to pray. You know, the best time to pray is when God's tenderized your heart. Amen. It's when He reaches in with the Holy Spirit and He begins to squeeze and begins to let us know that He cares about us and He loves us. We'd love to pray with you this morning if you'd like to pray as they sing.
Hold just a minute before you sing another. I'd like for everybody, if you would, just to bow your heads for just a minute. And we're going to close in just a minute. But you know, there's nothing more important in your life that you'd have things right with God. And I think there's many testimonies in this building this morning that would attest to what I'm about to say. Nothing else matters if you don't have peace with God. It don't matter about all the other stuff that we worry about, all the other stuff that we enjoy, all the other stuff we do. What really matters is we have peace with God. And I understand that, and I know that. Nobody's looking but me this morning. If you feel like it, you just want us to pray for you, that things would be right in your heart and life with God, would you want to slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I want you to know that God loves you and God cares for you, and we're going to pray and we're going to sing one more verse. God, we're so thankful that you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. Lord, we're thankful that, Lord, when we don't remember and we often forget, but Lord, that you do remember that we are just dust. Lord, we're thankful that as a father pitieth his children, so, Lord, you pity those that fear you. God, I pray a special prayer for every one of these here this morning, especially those that lifted their hand. God, that need, Lord, something in their heart and their life, some renewal, some strength, some peace. Lord, to get through some tough time or trouble that they're dealing with. God, I know that you are the great physician. I know that you're the healer. I know that you love us, Lord, in spite of ourselves. That, Lord, we can't do enough to make you not love us because you love us. And God, I pray that you'd touch their hearts and their lives. Give them strength, give them peace. And we sing this song, Lord, if there's one that'd like to move, Lord, would you speak to them? God, I want to pray this prayer. If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I ask you to have mercy on me, and Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. Lord, I ask you to be the Lord of my life, and I surrender to you knowing that you're God and I'm not. Lord, for all you do, we praise you and we thank you. Amen. Before you raise your heads, one more time, just keep your heads bowed one more minute. Is there anybody here that prayed that prayer, that asked Jesus Christ into your heart this morning? Amen. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. We're going to sing one more verse, and if you'd like to come up and pray, this is your opportunity. We're going to close in just a minute. Amen. Y'all play that Majesty video.
While he's praying,
we're going to play a video I believe will be a blessing to you. Let's pray for these that are in the altar.
I'm a sinful man.
but I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I can find the greatest love of all. Yes, mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice.
Sing with me tonight, Majesty.
Just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your head.
Singing Majesty, Majesty,
Majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, here I am.
There's coming a day we're going to all bow on our knee. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy, for His love, and His goodness. You know, we got a lot to pray about, church. Let's continue to pray about our. We got several people in the church that are battling some sickness. Some got some surgery coming up. We got some in the hospital. We got some looking for jobs. But we serve a mighty, mighty God. and let's bear our burdens up before Him. Now, we are not going to have service tonight because we got so many folks that are traveling, so many folks dealing with a lot of other things. We have Awana here at the church, and we're going to have our closing ceremony next week. So let's remember that on Sunday night. Anybody in the altar have anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight before we dismiss?